That's a lot to remember. I just like to say disobedience, then judgment, then deliverance. Just those three things. The children of Israel, they were disobedient, then there was judgment, and then there was deliverance after they repented. And if I went through and started naming off some of the judges, I'm sure you'd recognize most of the names that I would mention, that I would name off, like Samson. We all know who Samson is, you know, the strongest man that ever lived. I preached at the children's home on last Wednesday, and I said I kind of looked like Samson, and they just looked at me. they didn't say anything. Oh, well. But Samson, we all know Samson. And then Gideon, you know, we all know Gideon, the 300 men that went in. He started out with 30,000 people and ended up with 300. And then they defeated all those thousands and thousands of Midianites. So we know who Gideon is. Deborah and Barak, we know who they are. You know, Barak was kind of a sissy. He said, I'm not going to go fight unless you go, Deborah. And Deborah went with him, and they won. And so we know Deborah and Barak. If I were to say Samuel, you'd know who Samuel is. You may not know him as a judge, but you would know him. He's the one that anointed David as king, and he was the one that presided over Saul being chosen as king. And he was the last judge of the children of Israel, Samuel. But the guy we're going to talk about tonight is not as well known as those men and women. He's not as well known, and he only has two verses written about him in the entire Bible. And they're both in the book of Judges. And if you count up the words in both verses, you get 50. 50 words in two verses, and that's all there is to know about this particular judge. He's the third judge, and his name is Shamgar. And in Judges chapter number 3, verse 31, the Bible says, "And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel." Shamgar, the son of Anath, also delivered Israel. The title of the message tonight is Do What You Can With What You Got. Do what you can with what you got. And you know, Joe, little Joe, sent me a text yesterday. He got to see the brand new coach of the Tennessee Volunteers. Lane Kiffin walked right by. And right after that, Monty Kiffin, Lane Kiffin's dad and the new defensive coordinator of the Tennessee Volunteers, walked by. And Joe sent me a text, and he said, "I got to touch Monty Kiffin." And I sent him one back. And I said, "Ooh, did you wash your hands?" And he sent back, "No!" And then he sent me a video of it. And I'll treasure it. Not really. You know, Joe loves the Tennessee Volunteers. I love the Florida Gators. And they're my favorite team. My favorite player on the team is Tim Tebow. He's the quarterback. And he has two national championships. And he may end up quarterbacking in the NFL someday. Maybe. On Sunday afternoons, he may be out there throwing touchdowns in the NFL. And one thing I can say that I'll never do is throw a touchdown in an NFL football game. Never, ever. Last Sunday, Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson were in the Masters, and they put on a show. Almost came back from being 5 or 6 or 7 shots down, but a man from Argentina won in a playoff. He beat the other guy, Kenny Perry, in a playoff in the Masters in Augusta. And he won a green jacket and some money, too. I'll never putt for the Masters Championship on a Sunday afternoon. Never. Ever. Not because I don't want to play on Sunday. I mean, that's part of it, but I'm just not good enough. Beth says the only sport she could ever see me play in is golf. And she's about right, but I'm still not good enough to go play on Sunday at the Masters. I'll never be able to dunk a basketball over Shaquille O'Neal. Another little boy at the children's home named James said, "How tall are you?" I said, 6'3". He said, "Can you dunk?" I said, "No." He said, "You can't dunk?" I said, "No." I said, "My legs are chicken legs." He said, "You're 6'3" and you can't dunk?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "That's shameful." And then he poked me in the belly, and he said, "Why is your belly so big?" And I said, because I eat little boys who ask me why my belly's so big. And his eyes got real big and he turned around and walked away. I wasn't going to eat him. I'll never do any of those things. You guys know. We hadn't been here 3 months and I broke my elbow over across the street. You guys know that I'm as athletic as a three-month-old muskrat, you know? I'll never do any of those things, ever. I'll never preach like Charles Spurgeon, never. I'll never preach like Ray Lindsey. I don't know anybody that will ever preach like Ray Lindsey. I'll never be a Billy Sunday, never be any of those things. But I can do what everybody else in this room can do, and I can do what I can with what I got. And you can do what you can with what you got. That's what Shamgar did. So let's pray, and then we'll talk about him. Heavenly Father, thank you for this night, and Lord, I pray that you'll bless the message. God, help me to only say that which you would have me to say. And Lord, speak to our hearts. And God, I pray that we'll go out of this place ready to serve you. And Lord, draw us closer to thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Shamgar did what he could with what he had. And number one, I want to take a look at his task. The task. The task. We see there in verse 31, and after him was Shamgar the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. That was his task. He delivered Israel. He delivered all of Israel. Shamgar delivered Israel. And the word delivered there literally means he saved them. He literally saved them. He gave them victory. He delivered them. He delivered them. And we talked about this morning in Sunday school the law of first mention. And if you look back at the first time this word is used in the entire Bible, it's in Exodus. And it talks about when Moses helped a lady, I can't even think of her name now, but it's in Exodus. He helped somebody who was trying to water her flocks, and the name is gone. But he was helping there as they were trying to, as she was trying to water her flocks. The shepherds came and chased them all off, and Moses helped her. Moses helped them out. And that's the first time the word delivered is used. But it's translated helped, not delivered. And so this has the idea of helping, saving. The word is used 20 times in the book of Judges. It's used 57 times in the book of the Psalms. And in the book of the Psalms, it's mostly translated saved. So he saved. It literally means that Shamgar saved Israel by killing 600 bad guys with an ox goad. That was his task. He saved them, literally saved them. The name Shamgar means sword. He was a sword in Israel. And he delivered the children of Israel. He was the son of Anath. And the son of Anath means Anath means answer or a response. So Shamgar the sword answered the call, and he responded by delivering the children of Israel. And you know, he was the son of the answer. And we're the son of the answer spiritually. God, our Father, is the answer. The Lord Jesus Christ is the answer. And we ought to respond like Shamgar did, and we ought to go out there and we ought to deliver a lost and dying world. Now, we can't save them. We can't save them ourselves. But we know the answer. We know the one that can save them, and we can take it out. Just like we talked about this morning, when we had such a great, sweet spirit, sweet service this morning, we can take that out there to them, and we can deliver them. We can deliver them, literally. If you look at the second time Shamgar is talked about in the Bible, it's just a page or two over in Judges chapter 5, verse 6. The Bible says there in Judges 5, 6, in the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied and the travelers walked through byways. It was a scary time. It wasn't safe for people to walk on the streets. Oh, you could take the back roads here and there and maybe go down alleys or whatever. You know, you could take back roads, but if you get on the main highway, then you were in danger and you were going to get robbed or killed or something bad was going to happen to you. It was a scary time. And Shamgar, the sword, answered the call and he went out and he delivered Israel. And you know, I don't know. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me get back here. Our task is to take the gospel to every creature. That's what the Bible says. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Go ye therefore and teach, right? Go, win, and then baptize, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? Teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That's our great commission, to go and take the gospel to every creature. Romans chapter 1, verse 14 talks about Paul there, and he said he's a debtor. He said, I am a debtor. That means he had an obligation to tell them about Jesus. It's our duty to give the gospel to the lost and dying world. It's our duty. Gracie and Mia were going to try to sing with Beth tonight, and they had two songs they were working on. One, People Need the Lord. That's true, isn't it? People need the Lord. And the next one was Carry the Light. They've sung it here before. They were going to try to sing that tonight. And what a blessing to hear my two daughters sing with my wife around the piano about people needing the Lord and carrying the light. And that's what we ought to do. Because people need the Lord, we ought to carry the light to them. Carry the light to them. And we wonder why we're down on a Sunday night. We wonder why we're down on a Sunday morning. Wonder why our church, the membership is going down. Maybe it's because we're not carrying the light like we should. I'm preaching to myself. I'm not trying to preach to anybody here, but I'm really talking to myself. God has so convicted me about this. So convicted me about this. Our task is just like Shamgar's. Just like his. Deliver. Just give the gospel. Just deliver the gospel. That's it. That's our task. We have an obligation to give out the gospel. So number one, the task. Number two, the tools. The tools. The Bible says, Shamgar the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad. With an ox goad. Now Shamgar was a farmer. And allow me to use my imagination. This is my ox goad. An ox goad is a cattle prod. It's a cattle prod. Sammy asked me if he could preach tonight. So I'm going to use my son, Sammy. You want to come down here? You want to preach, boy? Yeah, he wants to help me preach. He's not going to say anything, but he's going to be what I want him. He's going to just act this out for you. All right, come on up here, buddy. He said, can I preach? He didn't want to sing, but he wants to preach. Are you nervous? All right. You're going to be my ox, okay? Stand right there. Don't look at me. Turn around that way. Turn around. Look at Brother Joe. He'll give you candy later if you're nice. All right. And what the farmers did is this end was pointy. One end was pointy. And that ox wouldn't go and do what he wanted it to do. So that farmer would take that ox goad. Don't look. Turn around. No. Look at that. And he would pump that ox. He would poke that ox. Thank you, buddy. You can go sit down. You helped me preach very good. That farmer would take that ox goad. I had to let him. He wanted to preach. Thank you, Brother Mickey. He took the pointy end of that ox goad, and he would poke that ox. And he would motivate the ox. He would urge that ox on. So one end was pointy. The other end was flat. And that's what the farmer would use. That's what he would use to clean off the blade of the plow. And he couldn't plow a straight line unless he had the pointy end to urge the cattle to go where he wanted it to go. And he couldn't plow a straight line unless he had the flat end to clean off the blade so it wouldn't get clogged, so he could plow that straight line. Now, I'm not a farmer. I'm a city boy. This is just, I've done a little bit of research on it. I haven't really put my hand to the plow, literally, and gone out there and done this. But it just made sense. If you don't get the ox to go where you want it to go, then it's not going to be straight. And if it's clogged, it's not going to pick it up like it ought to, and not going to get the dirt out like it ought to get it out. And you're not going to have a straight line. And so his tool, he used his tool. And we're not going to serve the Lord right unless we're motivated. We're going to be motivated, don't we? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:14 that the love of Christ constraineth us. What keeps us in a straight line doing what we ought to do? The love of Christ, our love for the Lord Jesus Christ, should keep us going in a straight line the way we ought to go. And we've got to keep our plow clean, right? We've got to keep ourselves clean. If we're going to plow a straight line, we've got to be clean. We've got to live pure and holy lives. So we take the ox goad. And we need both ends of it, the pointy end and the flat end. And I like I said, I like to use my imagination. And I don't know if one day Shamgar was out in the field plowing and using that ox goad. They say they could be up to 10 feet long. And he would use that ox goad and urge that ox to go and plow. And maybe the Philistines came through as Shamgar was out working in the field. And maybe they turned over the cart. Or maybe they burned his house down. Or maybe they roughed him up a little bit. He finally had enough. His name is Sword, you know. He finally was tired of it. That's interesting that his name is Sword, but he didn't have one. He didn't have a sword. And maybe he just got mad. Maybe he grabbed that ox goad and just chased after him. And when he caught up to him, he killed 600 of them. I don't know if that happened. It's really not in there. There's only 50 words to go by, but maybe he did. But he just grabbed the closest thing to him and went off after him. Went off after him and killed all those men. 600 men. 600 men. He was skillful. Maybe when he was a boy, he was out in the backyard playing, you know, like I used to play G.I. Joe. Maybe he was out in the backyard playing, you know, practicing with that ox goad. I'm all right. Miss Diana heard a crash and she looked up. Maybe he was out there practicing. I don't know. But I know that when he got to those 600 men, they didn't know what hit him. And he killed 600 Philistines with a farming instrument. Not a sword, not a spear. Sammy, you're going to help me preach again, but don't come up here. Stay back there. We had a raccoon in our backyard one day, and Brother Truman gave us a cage, and we caught him eventually with a hot dog. And we were out in the backyard, and I was going to grill hamburgers or whatever out on the back porch, and the kids were playing on our old swing set that was killed by a tree. They were out playing on the swing set, and all of a sudden, they said, "Daddy, we see the raccoon." And I thought they were kidding. This was a pretty aggressive raccoon. He chased me inside the house the night before. And I went inside and sat down and told Beth to go get him. They said, "There's the raccoon, Daddy, there's the raccoon." And I looked up and sure enough, he was climbing down the tree, getting into the backyard. He smelled what I was cooking. And so we got the kids inside. And as we're going inside, Sammy picked up the biggest stick he could find. Now, Sammy, you know, is afraid of everything. He's afraid of bugs, he's afraid of bees, he's afraid of flies, he's afraid of wasps, he's afraid of feathers, he's afraid of everything, you know? Oh, bug, a bug. Now he's embarrassed. He picked up this big stick, and he stood in between that raccoon and his sisters, like this. And I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm going to kill that raccoon with this big old stick." And I said, "Get inside." Now, it would have been better if he had gone inside and got a bazooka, you know, or something. That's what I told the kids at the children's home. It would have been better. There are better things to get rid of a raccoon than a big old stick and a four-year-old, right? But he grabbed the closest thing he could find. He was going to kill that raccoon with that big old stick. I was so proud. Little hunter. He's going to kill that raccoon with that big old stick. He grabbed what he could. He was going to use what he had. He was going to use what he had. That's what Shamgar did. He just grabbed the closest thing, went off after those Philistines. And it was an ox goad. So, what do you have in your hand? What do you have in your hand? An ox goad? What do you have in your hand? Moses had a rod. He threw it down and it turned into a snake, and he picked it up by the tail and it turned into a rod again. And God used Moses and that rod to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. David had 5 smooth stones and a sling. Oh, he tried to use the big sword and armor that Saul had, but it didn't work. He hadn't used it. He hadn't proved it. He used what he knew would work. He picked up 5 smooth stones and a sling, and killed a giant, a Philistine. A little boy had 5 loaves and 2 fish, and with it yielded to God. With it yielded to God. He fed 5,000 men, plus women and children. That's what he had in his hand. That's all he had in his hand. Samson, we talked about him. He tied foxes together, tied their tails together, and set them on fire and burned fields down. He used the jawbone of a donkey, killed a bunch of Philistines. He just used what he had. Just used what he had. Have any of you ever been trying to hang a picture for your wife or whatever, and you need a hammer, and you don't have a hammer, so you use the end of the screwdriver and try to beat it in? Or you take your shoe off and try to use your shoe? You'll get it in eventually. It's better if you have a hammer, if you have the right tool. But you just use what you have right there. You just use what you have. Mary had a box of ointment. She did what she could. She broke it and anointed Jesus, anointed him for his burial. She did what she could. Peter and John met a lame man, and he asked them for money, and they said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee." I'm going to give you what I have. What do you have? I'll tell you what we have: a sweet spirit. We have the Spirit of God in this church. We've got the peace of God. I know that some in this room are going through things right now that if we really knew everything, it would almost kill us. We really knew everything that they were going through, everything that they were under. Some in this room. But those same people have the peace of God. Those same people have the peace of God. That's what we have. We can use what we have. Use what we have. Do what you can with what you got. You're not going to go out and kill 600 Philistines with an ox goad, but you can do what you can with what you've got. You don't need a degree in theology. You don't need a degree in theology to go out and lead someone to Christ. God will give you exactly what you need. He's going to give you a talent, exactly what He wants you to use to go and accomplish your task. And that's all through the Bible. Let me give you some verses. James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Everything comes from the Lord. Every good gift that we have comes from the Lord. Matthew 25:14-30 is the parable of the talents. And you've got the three men. One had 10, one had 5, and one had 1. And the one who had 10 doubled his, and the one who had 5 doubled his, and the one who had 1 buried his, and he got kicked out and fired and gave what he had to the other guys. God gives you what He wants you to use to accomplish your task. We all have spiritual gifts. Ephesians 4:11 talks about how some, He gave some prophets and some apostles, some teachers, and some all the way down the line. But everybody can't be a preacher, and everybody can't be a teacher. Everybody can't work in the nursery. Everybody can't do, well, everybody could work in the nursery, right, Beth? Just about everybody. But the point is, He gave everybody something to be able to use to go out and accomplish the task of winning souls for Christ, carrying out His will. And you don't need a degree in theology to go out and carry it out. Andrew first findeth his brother, Simon Peter, and he brought him to Jesus. That's it. He didn't explain anything to him. He said, "Well, I met the Messiah. Come and see him. Come and meet him." That's it. That's all he did. He didn't go up to him and say, "Let me explain to you the Holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and there's a triangle, and each angle is God, and it's just like the triangle has three different angles. God has three different persons, and they're separate but equal." He didn't go through and talk about all that. He didn't say, "Let me explain to you about the tulip and Calvinism, and you're totally depraved, but not really, because it's not true. And, you know, the limited atonement, and, you know, what's the P stand for? Perseverance of the saints." He didn't go through and talk about all that. None of it's true, by the way. But he didn't, I mean, don't think that I think any of that. None of it's true. But he didn't explain all that. Andrew just said, "Hey, Peter, come meet Jesus." That's it. That's it. "Hey, Peter, come meet Jesus." He didn't say, "Peter, I was reading in the Bible and in the scrolls, Ezekiel saw a wheel inside a wheel in a dream, and in another one he saw a creature with four faces. What do you think that means?" He didn't do that. He said, "Peter, come meet Jesus. I met Jesus. He's the Messiah. He's the chosen one. He's going to cleanse, He's going to save His people from their sins. He's going to save us from our sins." That's all he said. He didn't go through, and we don't have to do that either. People are going to say, "Well, what do you think about this? What do you think about all these marriage amendments that they're trying to pass? And what do you think about abortion? And what do you think about this and that? And all these other things." They're going to ask you about that. And all we need to do is say, well, let me introduce you to Jesus. And everything else will come to pass. Everything else will fall into line. All that other stuff, it won't matter. We don't need to have a degree in theology. We could just go up to somebody and say, would you like to come to church? That's it. You want to come to church? Can I tell you about Jesus and what he did? We were at lunch today. At lunch, at Red Lobster. Thanks, Mom. It was good. It was good. We have leftovers at home until tomorrow morning when I eat them tonight. And the waiter came by and he said, how are you doing today? And my mom said, oh, we just had a great service at church. She didn't explain anything about doctrine or theology. We had a great service at church. That's pretty easy to say, isn't it? And we gave him a gospel tract. That's really easy. You don't even have to say anything. You'd have a mouthful of food and hand a guy a gospel tract, you know? Use what you have. Do what you can with what you have. Just, here you go. This tells you about our church, and it tells you how you can know Jesus as your Savior. There's a little map inside here. It tells you how to get to our church. But there, right here, it tells you how you can know Jesus. It tells you about Jesus right there. That's it. That's all you have to do. Now, don't be content to do that if they say, oh, well, tell me more. Well, tell them more. Lead them to Christ. But you don't have to know all kinds of stuff about the Bible. I don't know everything about the Bible. I don't know it from cover to cover. I don't know it as much as I want to know it. I want to know it more. I want to know it backwards and forwards, but I don't. But I don't have to. Not to be used of God. I just pick up my ox goad and go out there and give them a gospel tract. You know? Some are given a lot. Some are very talented. They can do all kinds of things. Some are very talented. And God uses them in a great way. Others aren't given quite as much, but they can be used just as much. And you might say, well, I don't have as much. I don't have thousands of dollars. There are people that I know that can give way, way, way more money to the ministry than I can. I mean, they can give thousands and thousands of dollars to the ministry. I can't give that much, but I can do what I can. I can do what I can with what I have. And there are people that I know that can go to the mission field. I've got friends right now that are missionaries all over Europe, and some church planters in the United States that I went to college with. And I think, boy, I wish I could do that, but I can't. I can't do that right now. God may never ask me to do that, but they can. But I can do what I can with what I got, and I can pray for my Jerusalem right here, and I can go out and I can try to lead souls to Christ right here, and I can pray for the missionaries that I know that are out serving the Lord. We can do what we can with what we've got. God's going to give us a talent to carry out the task that He has for us to do. We just have to do it. Just do what we can with what we've got. Well, we're a small church. We don't have a lot of influence or a lot of money or anything like that. So what? Who cares? Do what you can with what you've got. That's all we have to do. If we don't get anything else out of this message, I hope we go away with this. Do what you can with what you got. That's it. Do what you can with what you've got. Just do it. And you know, God's going to judge us that are Christians by what we've done with what He's given us. And if we don't do anything with all that He's given us, then we're not going to be blessed. He's going to judge us according to that. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much He's given us. It matters what we do, what we allow Him to do, and how much we yield it to Him, and what He does with what He's given us. Does that make sense? I think I kind of talked around in circles, but you get my point? We just need to do what we can with what we've got, what God's given us. So the task. Is everybody here? Am I going too long? I don't have my watch on. I forgot to borrow Brother Joe's. I'm sorry. Are you awake? All right. So we talked about the task. We talked about the tools. I just want to use what God's given me. I want to go out there and do what God wants me to do. And you know, like I said, I'm preaching to myself. I'm preaching to myself. How many times have we passed up talking to somebody about the Lord? And I didn't have to explain anything to them. All I had to do was give them a gospel tract. That's it. All I had to do. Tony Hudson tells a story about how he went into a gas station and somebody, I think he was buy one, get one free or something. I don't know. He got some really good news at the checkout, at the cashier. And he said, well, praise the Lord. And she said, did you say praise the Lord? And he said, yes. And she said, well, you must be a Christian. He said, I am. Are you? Have you ever trusted Christ? And she said, no, I'm not a Christian, but I've always wanted to know how to become one. He said, well, let me tell you. And he told her. It's amazing. It doesn't always happen like that, but sometimes when it does, we're too stupid to pay attention to it. You know, we just take our whatever we got and our Arizona iced tea or whatever it is, and we just go out and drink, you know, whatever it is, you know, our Dr. Pepper or whatever. We just take it and go, you know, we're too much in a hurry. We don't pay any attention. I don't. Let's just use what we can. Let's just do what we can with what we've got. The task, the tools, and the triumph. The triumph. The Bible says in verse 31, the very end, and he also delivered Israel. The whole verse, and after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. He also delivered Israel. The word also, it's a good word. It means the same way as all the other judges. The same way as everybody else did it, Shamgar did it. Oh, he used an ox goad. He used different tools. He didn't use the jawbone of a donkey. He didn't use 300 men with pots and candles inside the pots and trumpets. He didn't do that, no. No, he used an ox goad. And he only got 50 whole words in the whole Bible. Two verses. Some men got chapters. Hey, Samuel had two books named after him. But Shamgar also delivered Israel. He also did. He did too. Same way, in the same manner, he did it too. I'll never be Billy Sunday, but I can also lead someone to Christ. Maybe not as many. I hope. I wish. Wouldn't that be good? To lead as many souls to Christ as Billy Sunday? Or to be the preacher or soul winner that Charles Spurgeon was? Wouldn't it be great? Or to be the soul winner D.L. Moody was? I know I'll never be D.L. Moody or any of those men. But you know, God can use me just as much as he used them. Shamgar also, he also delivered. Different tools, but the same deliverance. The different tools, but the same deliverance. Nobody in this room is exactly alike. I was going to say there are no other Chris Taglierinis, but I Googled my name today on the internet. And I found me, I mean really me, on the internet. And I found somebody else. There's another Chris Taglierini who was in some park about 4 years ago, and there was a sign up that said, no dogs allowed, and he ignored the signs, and he let his dog run around in the park while people were fishing. And it talks about how Chris Taglierini and his girlfriend, Dana Smith, were, I didn't have a girlfriend named Dana Smith 4 years ago, I promise. Men. Didn't have a dog. Had a few kids. But they were on a leash. But in this room, there's nobody just alike. Amen. I'm not like Brother Chris. Thank the Lord. That's what you're saying. I know. Nobody's alike. Nobody's gifted in the same way. But we all can do what we can with what we have. Every single one of us. Everyone. Use what God's given. Use the talents that God's given you. All of us. Whether you get one chapter, three chapters, two books, two verses, 50 words, whatever. Just do what you can with what you've got. Just do what you can with what you've got. Just as God was with Moses, the Bible says, God was with Joshua. And just as God was with Moses and Joshua, God was with D.L. Moody, Billy Sunday, Charles Spurgeon. And just like God was with Moses and Joshua and D.L. Moody and Billy Sunday and Charles Spurgeon, God was with Tom Malone and Lee Robertson. And just as much as God was with all those men, God can be with us. That same God who used five loaves and two fish, that same God who took the jawbone of a donkey that Samson yielded to him and used to kill all those bad guys, the same God that took the ox goad that Shamgar yielded to him and went out and killed 600 Philistines with, the same God that did all that can take us and use what he's given to us as we yield it to him. And we can carry the light and we can see great things accomplished, and we can see souls saved. We've got a task to do, and God's given us some tools to accomplish that task. And we can have just as much of a triumph as anybody else can if we do what we can with what we've got. And one final thing in closing. I want to read a story to you. This happened about, well, it happened March 23rd. This was in the paper, March 23rd. And it says, a South Tampa family narrowly escapes thanks to a neighbor. Just minutes earlier, Tiffany Laughlin had been fast asleep, but now, trapped in the smoke-filled room of her burning Tampa apartment, the 23-year-old watched her baby dangling out the window. Her friend, A.J. Grace, 20, held the 16-month-old and calculated the two-story drop. Her brother, Ryan Laughlin, 25, stood below with his arms extended. The young mother's heart pounded fast. Oh my God, she thought, please just catch her. Grace let go. Early Sunday morning at about 1:15 a.m., Ryan Laughlin made the most important catch of his life, his 16-month-old niece, Tiana Samuel, then his sister. But Ryan wasn't the only lifesaver in a fire that destroyed two apartments and killed a woman above Potbelly's Family Restaurant, and then it gives the address. Then it goes on to go into a greater detail. Tiffany, the woman shouted as she banged on the wall they shared. Tiffany! Tiffany Laughlin opened her eyes. So did Grace, who had spent the night. Ryan stirred from the other room where he slept with his 2-year-old daughter, Raylin. From their doorways, they saw the flames licking up the walls of the living room, melting the television, and blocking the door. As Tiffany Laughlin recalls, no smoke alarm had gone off. Get your daughter, Grace screamed to Ryan. Ryan reemerged with the screaming toddler in his arms. He kicked the door open, and carried her downstairs to safety. A piece of the ceiling crashed behind them. Grace retreated into Tiffany's room and shut the door. They needed to get out, and the window was the only option. Tiffany trusted Grace with her baby, then with herself. As she hung out the window, she looked at her brother below and at the two little girls crying at his feet. She prayed she wouldn't fall on either of them. She landed on her brother's back. Then Grace jumped to safety. But the woman upstairs, whose cries stirred them from their sleep, wouldn't. At 1:20 a.m., when the firefighters arrived, they saw her in the window screaming. They tore through the flames with hoses and found her a few minutes later, passed out in her bathroom. Paramedics treated her for smoke inhalation and burns. They rushed her to Tampa General Hospital, but she didn't make it. She didn't make it. That woman, unnamed in the story, that woman did what she could with what she had. Wake up! Wake up! Wake up! Right? She woke up all those people in that apartment. And five people were saved. At least five people were saved because she woke up and knocked on their door, beat on their walls, shouted their names. She did what she could with what she had while the flames were licking up the walls of the apartment. And as I read that, all I could think about is the flames of hell that are waiting to engulf some souls that are waiting for us out there. And all we have to do is what that woman did and what Shamgar did and do what we can and give our lives to go and tell them about Jesus. And we can save them. We can accomplish the task that God has given us the tools to accomplish. And we can be triumphant and see souls saved. But we have to do what we can with what we've got. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this night. Lord, you've so convicted my heart. Lord, help us to do what we can with what you've given us. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, will you stand all around? Brother Paul's going to sing a hymn of invitation in just a minute.